We are the Jocelyn Pettit Band, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
All right, and you are listening to Stereo Blues on CITR 101.9 FM. The track that we just heard was from White Mystery called Rapid Overdrive. White Mystery are with the awesome Burger Records. So really looking forward to today's show. Going to be interviewing Culture Shock, who will also be playing on Saturday at Chapel Arts for CITR's 75th anniversary, which is kind of amazing. Such a long history. Up next, we are going to play some local band Sightlines, and this is off of their summer EP, and this is 27.
Show me what I cannot see here before my eyes. Remember the time we met. Don't think that I've forgotten yet, but I realize it's been 27 years. Did you think you'd be standing here? Unities of time and space. Everybody needs some place to disappear. Children of the earth don't know what lives are worth yet. Party of spirit. Tired of all the sharp worm jokes I made. Tired of my moans. Don't wanna hear it. It's been 27 years. Did you think you'd be standing here? Communities of time and space. Everybody needs some place to disappear. We'll be right back.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
All right, and we're back on Stereo Blues. The track that we just heard was from Culture Shock. It was Kink's cover called I Need You, soon to be released, so really exciting stuff. And before that, we heard some haunted leather called Red Road, kind of psychedelic stuff out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. All right, so up next, we are going to hear some more Vancouver stuff. This is going to be back from 1980 off of the Teen City EP. This is the Modernettes.
Jump. CITR 101.9 FM is pleased to invite you to a birthday party celebrating 75 years of campus and community radio excellence for 30 years on the FM dial and 30 years of Discorder magazine. We've got a lineup of bands and exhibits to celebrate CITR's 75-year history of independent radio and support of local independent music, including Miss Mar and Friends, Culture Shock, Fine Mist, Channels 3 and 4, Carolyn Mark, and the new Best Friends and more. Doors open at 8, bands at 9, tickets for $10 in advance or $12 at the door plus voluntary donation. This party is one part of our alumni weekend, and if you are an alumni, past volunteer, or current member, or are connected to the history of the station, this event is for you. For more details, visit CITR.ca.
All right, and we are back on Stereo Blues. The band that we just played was Cub, who will also be playing this weekend at Chapel Arts for the Radioversary. But I'm also very excited to have special guest Gord Badenik, musician, producer, DJ, and record label manager. Played bass in Culture Shock from 1980 to 1982, charting on CITR with the track Forever and Ever. Gord was president and former music director at CITR, as well as having a show on CITR for 13 years. Hello, Gord. Thanks for calling in today.
Like, it's hard. Yeah. I'm calling to you from deepest, darkest, I guess East, I'm at Hastings and Boundary, so I'm inside Vancouver still.
Oh, no way. East Vancouver, for sure.
Yeah.
So you have a pretty interesting history with CITR. What would you say the connection with Culture Shock and CITR, how did it all start?
Well, Culture Shock was the band that I was in high school, which was, you know, back in the 1940s, I think, that's the way I remember it. But after, the band was still going along, and I came to UBC as a student. And so, like many people there at CITR, you're at the station, and you're at university, and you probably have a band going as well. So everything, you just try and keep all the chainsaws juggled in the air at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, school suffered most, but that's just how it goes.
So do you have, like, a first memory of CITR, like when you first came into the station kind of thing?
I don't remember walking into the station so much as the very first time I heard the station, which was about 6 months earlier. That would have been probably in the spring of 81. Mm-hmm. I was still in high school at the time. And I was, at the time, I was into all the alternative, well, punk bands. There was no word as such a word as alternative at that point. And I turned on the radio, and there was someone playing Stiff Little Fingers. And I was astonished because, you know, at my school and everybody I knew, no one had ever heard of this group. And I was just flabbergasted that not only were they being played, but their virtues were being extolled. And then they went on and played a whole bunch of other great stuff. I was just, I was dumbstruck. And from that moment on, I figured, well, this is for me.
What do you remember about, like, playing in the band in CITR? Did they do stuff together? Did they have events and you would play at their shows kind of thing?
A little bit with Culture Shock, not so much them, but later on I was in a group called the Debutantes, and we played a fair number of CITR parties, the summer parties, the Christmas parties, and all those kinds of things. At that point, usually we would get a garbage can and fill it with punch or sangria or something full of lots of liquor. So my specific memories are a little dim, but I remember there being a lot of activity. Absolutely.
Oh, I love it. And you also were part of the very first Discorder.
Yeah.
How was that experience?
Oh, it was totally fun. It was exciting doing something different. I mean, the Georgia Strait occasionally would offer a few reviews of, say, the Point of Sticks or DOA. Not so much DOA, but like the pop bands. But they wouldn't really do that the main part of their focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really felt there was a need to have some coverage for all the music that was happening in Vancouver. Writing about stuff is easy, right? And gushing about bands, and there's no shortage of bands. The hard part was not losing money doing it.
Yeah,
we had to get someone to actually do the boring stuff, or as far as I was concerned, the boring stuff. You know, selling the ads and organizing, dropping off the material, picking up the copy and laying it out and all that kind of stuff. But there was no, between everybody, it all got accomplished. And it almost folded several times, but it seems to have managed. So that's good.
Yeah, it's still going for about 30 years now. That's
yeah.
Crazy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So we actually have a 7-inch of the Culture Shock Forever and Ever.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So do you remember how did that all happen?
Well, again, this was back in the 1800s, but we. I had scraped together a couple of $100s. We went into a recording studio, and we had the entire afternoon. So we recorded six songs, which was luckily we actually didn't hadn't written anymore at that point. So he basically turned the tape on, played straight through, and then came in and gave it a listen. I think we did a guitar solo overdub, and then went home broke because we'd spent all of our money on the recording session.
No way.
Several months later, we managed to save up a bit more, and we printed up 300 copies of the single. And a friend of ours made some covers. We silkscreened them, hand silkscreened them.
Wow.
And then it turned out that we only really needed about 100. The rest of them sat under somebody's bed for years and years and years. Those got thrown away at some point. They're probably in the Burnaby landfill.
Oh.
but the bizarre thing, the upshot of it is because there are only 100 copies out in circulation, it's one of the rarer recordings of Vancouver punk, which you know,
it's very
proud
rare.
As I am of it, I can think of a lot of other recordings I like even more. You know, there's DOA or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's so rare, it's ridiculous. It's like worth $600 a pop.
I know. I noticed. I saw that.
I mean, I like it and all, but I'd pay maybe 30. But yeah, this Japanese label because of its rarity, mm-hmm. they reissued it. That was. They've done a good job with a lot of other things, some rare Irish punk, some, you know, label mates of the Undertones and a variety of other things. So they're an absolutely up and up label. So we were happy to have them. We were delighted that they wanted to consider us in the ranks of the things that they liked.
Wow, did that happen just recently?
Well, there's been a conversation going back and forth for about a year with the record label. Arguing over the money or anything, just we don't have that much time, and rounding up the tapes and everything took a lot longer than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had to find the 6 songs, and then they wanted to actually put out an album, and so we had to go. I actually had to find a couple of cassettes of us practicing and cassettes of playing at a few house parties.
No way.
And luckily, we have a good friend who's an awesome sound engineer. Ewan Dean is his name, and he's actually been nominated for a couple of Grammys for engineering things.
Wow.
And so he was able to take all of these things and you know, I don't know, somehow he twisted the knob and it didn't suck as much as it did on the cassette. So we have that all organized now. The Japanese record label has reissued the single. I'm actually curious, because I haven't seen a copy of it yet. Is it an original you have there, or is it a...
Actually, the one that we have here, it's...
Does it got a glossy cover, or is it got like a almost like construction... We made them out of construction paper.
This is definitely construction paper. It's funny, actually. There's little, like, it says, do not steal on it.
Wow.
And then on the side, it says, the greatest song since Just Like Me.
Is it in my handwriting?
I don't even know.
Well, I'm astonished that it's there still. Wow, that's terrific. Or maybe somebody slipped one in. But either way, the reissued single came out last week in Japan. I'm expecting it to show up in stores here presently. I'm trying to not have anything to do with that part of it.
Oh, okay, I see.
And then the Japanese record label is also going to issue a full-length CD of the 6 songs, you know, the 2 of them are on the single, and then it'll be but all 6 songs from the recording sessions, plus a bunch of stuff from a variety of other sources. So there'll be a full length album. You know, we played so fast; it's probably about 20 songs, and it's still probably only 25 minutes.
Wow, that's impressive. So you also did started Shindig.
That's right.
That is also still going on. How did that all start? Did it begin at the railway also?
Yes, sort of. I mean, prior to that, there had been a battle of the bands. It was actually out at UBC down in the Pit Pub.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd locked Danglers with them several times because they didn't like the fact that it wasn't top 40 bands involved. And finally, they just canceled the whole thing. They didn't think it was what they wanted. But we were counting on it not only for promotional stuff and helping out local bands, but it represented a pretty good income for the station at the time, at least keeping a few of the DJs employed. And so we were rather panic-stricken, and I approached Janet Forsyth, who owned the Railway Club at that time. And she had just opened a second club, the Savoy, or bought this other club. And to be perfectly honest, I don't remember whether we started at the Railway and moved to the Savoy, or started at the Savoy and then moved to the Railway. But But in the following September, after we spoke, I'd organized, you know, some recording prizes, and Janet gave us the club for every Monday evening, and it all worked out. She even donated the beers for Jokes for Beers.
So oh, no way. And that's still happening.
Yeah, I know. All of these things, you know, you just it's kind of like kicking a rock off the edge of a hill, and you want to see how far it rolls. You expect it to stop at some point, but it's still rolling along. I don't get it.
Oh, that's great. And in 1985, you co-ran the Zulu Records label. I didn't even know that Zulu ran a label. That's not going on anymore, is it?
Oh, no, no. It takes... It's so much to say. It's so much work. But yeah, no, we put out about when the dust finally settled, we probably put out about a dozen, maybe 15, maybe 20 local bands, albums and EPs and singles and things.
Wow.
Over the course of time. And the other big part of it is, you know, not only making the things, but what do you do with it afterwards? You have to distribute them to stores and collect the money and all that kind of stuff. And so I ran all of that. It was a distribution company. So we had hundreds of titles, and we distributed to all the stores in Victoria and Kamloops, uh-huh. Calgary, Winnipeg, Toronto, pardon me, and even further beyond. And so it turned into quite a business for a while.
Yeah.
We pulled the plug at one point. It was just getting, at that point, there was, I think, three staff or four staff, but no matter what, it didn't lose money, but it just turned into such a big sink of your time and effort that
mm-hmm.
We just pulled the plug. And that's actually when I think Cargo Distribution started, and they took off because they had the within their first year that Offspring album came out, and they all of a sudden were selling hundreds of thousands of copies instead of, you know, 1,500 of this and 40 of that.
Wow.
But you know, that's just how it goes. Yeah. No, we did that for quite a while. Put out a lot of good stuff.
No way.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, Joe Shithead from DOA, he's got his label now, and they've reissued all these works by the Modernettes and,
mm-hmm.
and the Young Canadians and the Point of Sticks. So those are actually all albums that I put together for Zulu Records.
Wow.
And we released them. We actually had them out on Polygram Records in Canada for a couple of years. But when we stopped running the label, of course they went out of print, and so they've been sitting out of print for about 10 years. So I'm delighted that Joe was able to re-release them. Is that how you say it?
I don't even know.
Yeah, no, but so that's where that's all at. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's so interesting. And so you stayed with that for about 10 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got busy in a bunch of other stuff. You know, the Music Industry Association here kind of ballooned up for a while. We ran a West Coast Music Awards, just like there's an East Coast Music Awards. And,
oh!
And we did, I looked after the Factor Grants, and I even got stuck doing the Junos for a year, doing all of the jurying, you know, yeah.
Listen. Oh, that must have been interesting.
Well, yes and no, because there's... You know, you get to hear a lot of good records, but you're also obliged to listen. You know, you don't want to listen to everything in a cursory fashion, so you
uh-huh.
actually have to listen to everything. And you got two Safeway bags full of recordings of hopeful people who, you know, expect to be handed an award for something other than perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it was awful.
I guess that's why, like, it lasted only a year, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a couple of years, but yeah, I know what you mean.
But the West Coast Music Awards, I don't think they're still going on, are they?
No, they've turned into the Western Canadian Awards,
okay.
West Canada Awards or something like that. And they're held here and in Winnipeg and I think Calgary more recently.
Okay.
It rotates around.
Interesting. And that at that time you were in a band, Thrill Squad.
Yes.
And you were also managed in the UK.
Yes. Yeah.
How is that different from life in Vancouver?
Everything costs money. Because when you're here, you know, you have your place to stay and all of your infrastructure on, your friends who can help and stuff like that. But when you're there, it's almost like you're trying to operate out of a hotel room. And even the very basics, like I'm going to get up and have coffee. Okay, well, I'm going to have to go buy coffee. And then I'm going to need to make posters, and I'll have to go and, you know, figure out where to print them up. And it just everything turned into three times the work.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that was totally fun. Yeah, the only downside was we were linked up to do a huge tour with a band who shall remain nameless, but their record label killed their album, and so the tour imploded, and so all of our carefully structured House of Cards similarly went out the window.
Oh, wow.
So, a year and a half of effort just was gone like that, and especially the money we'd invested in it. Well, if you guys just stay around for another year or two, perhaps we can get this organized again. It's like, no, thank you.
Yeah, no, not worth it.
Exactly.
Wow. Oh, so you're going to be playing tomorrow at Chapel Arts. Are you looking forward to the anniversary celebrations?
Oh, absolutely. I expect to see a bunch of my friends there that I haven't for a while. I've been following some of the missives online back and forth, and that looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the Cubs sing along. That should be pretty hilarious.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
And hey, we've practiced and everything, so this is going to be great.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show today, Gords.
Well, thank you.
It was great. I'll just play a track, Stay Away. And this has never been released?
Well, we recorded the six songs. This is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them went on the single. They were other songs. This song actually did get released a little bit. There was another record store here in Vancouver called Collectors RPM, mm-hmm. who were around for years and years and years, and they put out a couple of compilation cassettes. And so there were lots of local bands on those. Of course, Shanghai Dog Slow was on one of them. Actually, I think the cassette that this was put on was also Slow's first release.
No way.
I can't even remember the song name. It's not anything they re-recorded or anything. But there's this cassette out there somewhere out in the ether. Maybe it's worth more than $600. but Stay Away was released on that. So I don't know. I mean, they probably printed up well over 60 copies. So,
so awesome.
Technically, it was released, but the chances of anyone having accidentally heard it are mighty slim.
I see. Well, here we are with Stay Away. Watch out for the new album released on the Japanese label. Thanks again.
Yeah, 1977 Records, they're called.
All right, here we go.
Thank you. You're missing.
CITR 101.9 FM is pleased to invite you to a birthday party celebrating 75 years of campus and community radio excellence for 30 years on the FM dial and 30 years of Discorder magazine. We've got a lineup of bands and exhibits to celebrate CITR's 75-year history of independent radio and support of local independent music, including Miss Marr and Friends, Culture Shock, Fine Mist, Channels 3 and 4, Carolyn Mark, and the new Best Friends and more. Doors open at 8, bands at 9, tickets for $10 in advance or $12 at the door plus voluntary donation. This party is one part of our alumni weekend, and if you are an alumni, past volunteer, or current member, or are connected to the history of the station, this event is for you. For more details, visit CITR.ca.
And the track that we just heard was Games with It's Just Impossible. All right, so up next, we're going to hear a track from a local group called Love Cuts, and this is Moon Friend. All right, I'd just like to thank Culture Shock, Gord Badenick, for coming in again. That was awesome. I also have some more good news. I have tickets to give away to Turbo Fruits and White Lung playing at the Waldorf on November 30th. Give me a call, 604-822-2487. Yeah, and now we'll play some Turbo Fruits, and this is Harley Dollar Bills.
Yeah.
All right. And that was the Turbo Fruits with Harley Dollar Bill. Still have some tickets to give away. Call in 604-822-2487. They'll be playing with White Lung. Awesome show. Definitely worth going. All right. And to close off the show, we have some Crooked Bangs. This is Be Young, Sois Jeune. And thanks again for listening. Have a great weekend. And don't forget to come to all of the celebrations this weekend.